They have recruited the rich and the powerful.
They're running the whole show.
Wake up! They're all about you. All around you.
He encouraged everyone to speak about their beliefs, whether he believed them or not. Lexi, I don't really care. Am I a Republican? No, I'm a person. Because I'm standing up for someone that passed away, I'm now being called names in the chat. This is what's wrong with a lot of you people. You will never get far in life. You are sick in the head. Someone just said they're unsubscribing from me. Thank God, please. Because if you believe in vain thems, you're part of the problem. If you're so stupid enough to go against science, please unfollow me. You can be whoever you want to be, but there's science and there's facts.
Oh my God.
You can pretend in your head you're a cat. You can pretend in your head that you're this and you're that. Good for you. You're still only A or B. And the truth hurts a lot of you, I see. I see a lot of you still can't get over it. Sounds like a personal problem. While I've been live streaming, someone was just and TikTok has guidelines, you guys, so I have to censor what I'm saying. I'm uploading my video right now. I am. Even though we're dealing with all of this, I'm uploading my video right now. So yes, I am a grown-ass man that wears makeup. I will always be a male. My name is Jeffrey. Jeff, if you were my father, he's the only person allowed to call me that. My name is Jeffrey. I am a male that likes cosmetics. All these grown men going into women's bathrooms wearing wigs, you should all be in prison forever. You are the problem. So a grown man that goes around the country debating people, spitting facts, was just taken out. And I'm not over it. I can't sit here and play with makeup right now. I want to throw up.
Okay. All right.
True
MAGA patriot right there. And I'm not joking. That is a true MAGA patriot. I guarantee you that. What do you know about this Jeffrey? Oh, Gypsy Patriot. Okay. Oh, no, that's the person that posted.
Jeffrey Start.
Do you know anything about this individual? Is it just funny? Because I've never heard of this person before.
American makeup artist personality. Well, according to the replies, this is what one of his fans are saying. A lot of people don't know Jeffree Star is actually based as fuck. Homie exposed Hollywood, moved as far as he could, bought an alpaca farm, hired a private military security detail, and just lives life.
That doesn't sound like just living life. That sounds like some fucking wacky, dumb shit. Like, okay, I mean, hired. I guess on some level, maybe he needed a private security detail if, in fact, it is true what seems to now be the rumors are all trending in that direction, that Kirk's killer was in fact a tranny of some kind or another. It seems that is in fact the case. I don't know. I mean, the Steven Crowder thing that we saw. A lot of stuff happened.
He's like some kind of reality. Like, he was like some kind of reality show star that was like, he's got a cosmetics company. He's been like involved with the Kardashians and all that. Yeah. His Wikipedia has got a really like horrific drag queen photo of him.
Oh my God. Of course.
Drag queens for Charlie Kirk.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, there's many of these types, right? There's a lot of people like this. Yeah. What's funny is how Lady MAGA became like stopped always dressing in drag and looked like when wasn't in drag, like a normal person, you would never know, but then talked kind of like a fag.
He kind of looked like a younger Varg when he was out of the
I noticed this myself. I was like, is that Varg? I think a lot of people were saying that actually. It's kind of funny. Anyway, so just the latest news as of now, and I'm sure people have been following this.
Yeah, I don't think we have to tell people, like, in case you're listening in the future, we're talking about the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
No, I wasn't even trying to fill people in on that. What I was just saying is that, again, I guess I will say that, though. You said it now, so that's fine. This is the day after Charlie Kirk was shot, if you're listening a year from now. They found the gun. It was a bolt action rifle, and they got a footprint and like an arm print or something. And the gun was hidden in. I was looking last night at the Google Maps overlay of the college, and I was kind of curious. I was like, how the fuck could this person get away? Right? It didn't seem plausible that they would be able to just get away, because I was like, there's so many. But then again, I guess they were like, well, there's just not that much security there.
You transformed yourself into a security detail and security perimeter expert.
I just suddenly know
all about this and explaining to people like this is how you would do this if you're a savvy operator.
No, I was just sort of curious if it would have been. If like there was a place he could have gone and hidden or something like that behind the college or something, and they're
making fun of.
I was sort of curious. I was like, I wanted to see what it looked like from the top, right? So I went and looked at Google Maps. You can go look at it if you want. You probably won't get in trouble because probably a ton of people are looking at it. I know it was on the New York Times, the overhead view of the Google Map too. But I was sort of like, all right, because to me, here's what I'll say. Here's one thing I'll say in terms of my actual experience as an operator, which is zero. I was saying it's not plausible to me that somebody with a gun, because they didn't report that they had found it like on the roof, right? Everyone knows the shooter was on the roof. It wasn't the crazy guy, the crazy boomer guy that initially was yelling stuff. I guess even maybe said he was the shooter, according to some rumors, although I'm not sure if that's true or not. But they've charged that guy with obstruction of justice now. Everyone saw at this point, most people have seen the videos of the guy up on the roof running after he shot him. And I was sort of like, okay, so how the fuck did that guy not get caught? And then I guess it's like, well, I guess there just wasn't much security there. There was a lot of chaos. So it makes sense that he would have been able to run away. But I was also like, it's not plausible to me that he'll stay uncaught, because you know there was security footage that saw him running. You know that, like, it's hard to actually evade cameras. There's cameras fucking everywhere. And, like, you know, the fucking shit... In a movie where, like, Val Kilmer is, like, he's suddenly a different identity and the gun is all back. it's like he's blending into the crowd and goes away like a ghost. Like, that's not real, right? So I think the person will get caught. But they now have, like, they found the gun. It was hidden in the tree line behind the college. So obviously that's where the guy ran. And they found a boot print, and they said, like, a palm print and some other stuff. They're going to find this person. And they also said that they had ammunition that was painted with anti-fascist and pro-trans slogans, which initially this was leaked by Crowder, and it was not confirmed by the FBI or any of the investigators, but the Wall Street Journal I saw just posted something saying that that's true, unless they were going off of Crowder's leak, which I don't know because I don't have a subscription, so I can't tell. But let me see if I look at the New York Times as of 19 minutes. Do they have anything sooner than that? The authorities said they were following new leads Thursday in the search for the person who fatally shot right-wing activist Charlie Kirk. Bolt action rifle used in the attack. Images tracking the gunman's movements, including as he climbed onto the roof of a campus building, and imprints of a forearm, a palm, and a shoe. Investigators have good video footage of this individual, said Bo Mason, Utah's public safety chief. Law enforcement officials have asked the public for help tracking down the gunman. Mr. Mason said officials would release the images only if they could not identify the person using facial recognition or other technology. The weapon used to kill Mr. Kirk was a high-powered bolt-action rifle that investigators later found in a wooded area near the campus, Utah Valley University, where Kirk had been speaking to a large crowd Wednesday afternoon. So, yeah, I think this is probably something. Oh, they're saying that the person was of college age and therefore blended in well.
Yeah, I saw a report like that. Yeah. 18 to 22 was
which, I mean, again, that I saw. That's probably to be expected, you know, but who knows when we actually find out. So it looks like Crowder's leak was right. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and with the transgender stuff written on that, like, what? Because we don't have this person in custody, we don't have a lot of information. I think a lot of speculation is fair game and on the table, and I wouldn't put it past somebody who to try and frame job transgender ideology or whatever to try and throw people off the tail.
Like, sure thing, that's what you think.
I'm just saying.
I say
feel free to speculate about whatever you want.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I think
I'm not saying who or what the shooter was. I'm saying
yeah,
it's on the table. Anything's on the table.
Yes,
you can. I encourage everyone to speculate. In fact, I especially if you're in arguments with conservatives, I encourage you to get into very heated disagreements with them that potentially end friendships.
Jesus Christ. Well, I actually was saying, here's what I'm saying. It appears that actually Crowder's leak was correct. And I was, when I saw that it came out, because he also got the model, right? Now, I don't know if he, it seemed like his leak happened at the same time that the FBI made their announcement, although they didn't say what the model was. And they're now saying an older model Mauser 30-06 caliber high powered bolt action rifle. Again, if I said that model number wrong or in a cringy way, because I don't know anything about guns, fair enough. Military rifle, widely popular with hunters, blah, blah, blah. So that was the same model gun that Crowder said on his thing. So maybe he just actually got somebody in law enforcement leaked to him. I don't know. It's not surprising. And the info he had was also that there were these slogans written on the ammunition or on something. So who knows? It to me, that's plausible that it would have been somebody with that ideology. I was actually briefly... No, I shouldn't even do the joke because this is definitely a joke. Just so everyone knows, this is definitely a joke. This is not real.
Well, if you're that concerned about it, maybe don't do the jokes then if you're like...
Well, I don't want to... I don't know. Because it's a public figure I was going to make a joke about. Like, I feel weird. Like, should I do it? It's very funny. But it's like, I know... I can think of a person I know of that lives in the area that is a Mormon and is very pro-trans and is very vocal about being pro-trans on the internet.
That joke. Yeah, no, do that. No, okay.
I think I'm thinking like, and he likes to wear a rainbow wristband in his video.
Yeah, has Dan McClellan.
Has Dan McClellan checked in?
Yeah, well, does he have an alibi? Do we know? Like, can we see it?
He's like, that's just laughably naive.
I thought you were going for something a lot.
That's a joke, right? This is a total joke. Yeah. It's just funny because he goes at. I don't ever watch any of his videos like that. I actually don't really watch videos much anymore at all because it's like I've already like watched enough of his shit. But I still have him coming up in my YouTube feed, and I see him occasionally. He's like, Christian nationalism needs to grow up, and he goes at Kirk for that kind of stuff too, right? So it's like. So, where's your petty boundary maintenance now, bitch? Like, I'm sorry, it wasn't Dan McClellan. I do not actually think it was. That was a joke.
Obviously, no, but nobody's. No, there's nobody.
I don't know, man. You can never. You never know. That guy has no sense of humor. You never know what he's gonna do. I don't know. So we're just gonna. I think we should play. Look. Again, I'm not telling anybody how to feel about this either. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset about it, like, that's fine. If what I said on Twitter yesterday made people angry, like, that's fine too. But the one thing I don't like is the insinuation that, like, I was, like, some way required to feel any certain way because of some similarity between Kirk and myself or the fact that, oh, the shooter probably hated me too. That might be true. But again, that doesn't mean that I need to feel any particular way. And frankly, you know, the initial orgy of like condolences and everybody so sad and upset about it. Like a lot of people were feeling like they were really being pressured to say shit they didn't really believe in. And I was just saying, look, it's fine. If you don't really feel sad, like you don't have to go out and pretend like you do, like you're not required to do that. And I still stand by it. If you do feel sad, you can go ahead and say that you feel sad. I don't care about that either. Like that's your business too. Or if you feel like, I don't know, the left is out of control or something, right? Like, I think that we are at a point that's very interesting in terms of political violence in America. In a way, it's almost like, though, that the transgender thing, if it was a transgender person, That sort of that, fits a
that
profile.
That honestly makes a lot of sense as well, in terms of, because that was the group of people that Charlie Kirk, you know, got the ire of the most. Like I've seen transgender people hyper fixate on Charlie Kirk.
Like they would do with Stone Toss and shit too, right? Safe, Stone Toss. But I would say, yeah, they're first of all, they are violent. They're criminals. They're violent. They overwhelmingly have like criminal violent charges. Like half of them are fucking violent criminals. They're lunatics, right? They're crazy people. Yeah. My only thing was like, I feel like a tranny would have like fucked up and gotten caught, but that very well might have been what did happen. So, you know, we don't know. But
Doesn't necessarily have to be a tranny. It
could just been an ally.
An ally. It could be somebody that is extremely pro-trans.
Now, here's something I don't think, and I know that a lot of people are speculating on this, and I've got criticisms of this too. I don't think this was Israel.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I mean, it's fine if people want to speculate on it. Again, like I say, all speculation is on the table, but it just doesn't really make sense to me.
There's a certain poetic justice to that, in a way, that, like, that would be Kirk's legacy. And after all the Zionist shilling he did in his life, that his legacy would be when he gets killed by what is most likely, in my opinion, a lunatic transgender, like, tranny leftist. Or just lunatic tranny ideology, because I won't even dignify tranny shit by saying he's like leftist. Like, there's actual leftists that have real ideology. Like, this tranny shit is just like degenerate Jewish crap, right? But like, let's say it was a lunatic tranny or a tranny ideology fan, like a tranny enjoyer, right? Like, that just makes more sense to me that like the Israel thing. It's like, it's almost like this gives a lot of people a chance to invent who they would like it to be that they're oppressed by. And I think a lot of people were thinking along the lines of like, okay, well, you know, we should go out and be like, this is the worst thing. This is so bad. This is awful. But also we don't like Israel, and he was a huge shill for Israel. So how do we like kind of square that? And like, what's like, how do we give ourselves a permission slip for joining in like the conservative, choir here, right? I would like to join the conservative choir. How do I do this?
And it's funny, like a lot of them are doing the same thing where like it's, you know, like the Palestinians aren't actually after Israel, they're after you, and Israel's just in the way. They're doing the exact same thing. Like, I've seen people doing the same thing with Charlie Kirk. Like, they weren't actually after Charlie Kirk, they were after you, and Charlie Kirk was just in the way.
I'm pretty sure they were after Charlie Kirk, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, he was the one that was being aimed at. And, like, you know, again, which is not to say, like, somebody with this ideology wouldn't also hate me. But, again, that doesn't... I don't feel like that fact obligates me,
We're soft targets. If they want to come kill us, they'll come kill us. Like, that's just, like... People like us have way less like protection and security detail than somebody like Charlie Kirk does.
He did have private security.
They'll come kill us.
Right. I'm not exactly a tough target. And additionally, you know, I've also been attacked in public for doing political activism, and never killed, obviously, but I have been attacked in public for doing political stuff. And there's other times I've done political activism.
I've been harassed and fucked with.
Right.
So, like, they can get to us if they want to get to us.
Right. If somebody wants to, they'll be able to. But, yeah, but there's a lot of, I mean, there's just, I think that there should be a little bit of perspective on this. And let's be honest, like, again, I don't think Israel did it. And I think the claims of Charlie Kirk, like, going back on the Israel stuff or, like, deviating from the Israel line on stuff. I know he was doing, like, some Epstein stuff. But, again, Charlie Kirk was smooth, man. Like, he was very good at what he did.
He was walking the tightrope because he knows how anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist the youth is, even in the right. So he was on he had a constant tightrope walk that he had to do in dealing with this stuff, which requires paying a certain amount of rhetorical lip service to certain things and navigating that in order to establish credibility. You can't be a full-on 100% just lying shill at all times in order, because you will lose credibility. You have to have enough that muddies the waters and that creates credibility for yourself.
When he used to be a full-time lying shill all the time, and I remember when he began to start talking about racism against white people, and when he even started to talk about the Jews a little bit. I remember that. Now, I remember Charlie Kirk. I've known about Charlie Kirk for a long time. I've never met him. I've never known him. But I did know, remember, I've been around a while. And frankly, he was young. He was 31, and he started TPUSA when he was young, when he was like 20 or something like that. And I knew people who were in TPUSA when it was like a campus libertarian club, and they knew Charlie Kirk. And he was like a lolcow back then. We would make fun of him for being like a big cuck. And he wasn't even particularly pro-Trump, if I recall, in 2016. I don't want to lie, but I don't...
I'm pretty sure that's accurate, yeah.
Yeah, he was not particularly pro-Trump in 2016. In fact, he was like against the sort of socialist, like the, he was like Trump was some kind of... Like all the people that ended up becoming huge, big-time MAGA influencers, a lot of them were very milquetoast mainstream conservative. He was very milquetoast mainstream libertarian. And so person I knew.
He didn't start supporting Trump until the RNC in 2016.
Right. Oh, until the RNC. So that's actually earlier than I would have thought, but because I didn't think he would have started. I didn't think he started until he was already president, and until like even a couple of years after that. But I guess I was wrong. But I guess that means he was just like a good soldier. Like he just went along once that was the nominee, then that was the nominee. So he's just going to show.
Well, that's one of the reasons why he's so beloved by the Republican rank and file, and why I imagine a lot of people are trying to get on the bandwagon on that, because they see how beloved of a figure that he was amongst the Republican and conservative leadership and rank and file. So they think this is what we have to work with. We have to meet these people where they are. So we have to do this, the same level of performative outrage and public grief over right. this.
Whether, yeah.
I mean, like, it sounds kind of like I don't know. Like I know I sound crazy saying that, but like we've had people say to us, like, well, like I didn't like Charlie Kirk either, but we can use this. It's like you guys have to understand, like when you say stuff like that, one, first of all, people can hear you say that, but second of all, if you're being disingenuous, people can tell you're being disingenuous.
Yeah, I don't really think I'm going to be attracting TPUSA people unless it's because they have genuinely had a change of heart and mind and like decide they like the way, like they like our content or something, they like what we're saying and they agree with it. And that's possible. That has happened. Like there are people that went from being conservatives to being like us. I mean, Sven is one of them, you know, like while I was never so much of a conservative, I was definitely a dyed-in-the-wool libertarian, right? Who at one time, if I had been younger, maybe I would have joined TPUSA or something like that if it was like a libertarian organization. Although I probably wouldn't have because I was still pretty hoppy and like he was my favorite guy. It was like Hop. And I still like Hop. He's fucking cool. But I just remember I saw TPUSA from when it was like a college libertarian club to like become this major thing, which I guess it started really becoming a major thing, I guess, during Trump's first term. I don't know. I remember when he was suddenly like sitting next to Trump and I was like, holy shit, this guy rose fast, right? Like he must have been like selected, right? And this was, I think, even in the first term, he started being able to meet with Trump and be like, and then he was just like, from then on, he was like his top guy. So yeah, I remember that going back, and there had to have been a thing because like just starting a libertarian club on a campus is not going to lead to the kind of national organization that TPUSA was. I genuinely wonder what is ahead for TPUSA. Like, what are they going to do? Like, are they going to? Because I don't think I know. Like, here's the thing. I'll tell you one thing about Charlie Kirk. Like, I don't like him, or I didn't like him. I never liked him. I thought he was fake. I thought he was dangerous. I thought he was shitty. I didn't like. I thought he was a liar. He was good at what he did. He was people underestimated because they don't like him.
He ultimately navigated through I know it wasn't the Great War thing. Like I don't like calling it that, but I don't know what else to call it.
Oh yeah, he ended
right
up
now.
Winning. I've always said.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, long term, like he did not. He had the first few times that happened, like he was devastating for him, but he powered through that, got better, and sharpened his rhetoric. And he was quite masterful at being able to throw people off on the spot when they would try to come up and ask him questions.
He's good at what he did. Like, I'm not going to take it away from him. He was very good at rhetoric. I think people don't, I mean, I don't know why they're like, I'm just telling you the truth. Like I said, like, I think he was very smooth. And like I said, he was smooth. And that's why you will be able to find clips of him saying things. Now there's a clip I've seen going around of him talking about Jews being like funding left-wing stuff. And this is
secular
Jews. This is packaged in with the Israel did it stuff. And I'm like, that clip is from like years ago. I remember when he first said that. Unless it's another one, but the first time he said that was years ago, and I think it's the same one because I specifically remember it. I don't know exactly the date, but I know it's at least a couple of years old. So, again, I gotta talk about what I think are the misconceptions of the idea that Israel did it, right? And as you said, people go ahead and speculate if you want. I think it's funny, frankly, if the legacy of this guy, one of the top shills ever for Israel, is this anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that actually Israel killed him. So you spend your life chilling for Israel. That's like your political output for 10 years. And then when somebody kills you, some crazy tranny offs you, then everybody thinks they want it to be Israel because that somehow makes it cooler or more romantic. Or maybe it makes it easier for them to remember you fondly or something. You know, I don't know. But I don't think Israel did it. I think he was too loyal to them to do it. I also don't think that that's how Israel operates. Why didn't they kill Tucker Carlson? Why didn't they kill Candace Owens? Why don't they kill Nick Fuentes? And again, I'm not rooting for that. I am absolutely not rooting for any of that. Any of them to get shot, or Fuentes, or myself, or arguably these people all have much more influence than I do. But I'm saying, like, there are people that were on the conservative plantation that got off of it with respect to Israel and Jews much more to a significant degree than Kirk ever did. And I guess you could say, well, he was so important for like right-wing youth and right-wing youth opinion that if he turned, then that was it. Whereas Tucker's audience is probably more varied, right? It's maybe older.
But I just have also trouble buying because even recently he was making very hardcore pro-Israel statements, like going as far as denying the existence of Palestinians, doing the Judea and Samaria, talking like right-wing Zionist talking point on all that. I don't see how you have like a sudden change of heart that quickly, and then Israel assassinates you for like the timeline on that just doesn't make any sense to me.
And again, there's a certain amount of there is a certain amount of this that Jews have to eat. They didn't always, but they do now. And as a result, in order to maintain credibility, Charlie Kirk had to walk a certain tightrope. And the level of shilling for Israel that he was doing, and even shilling for like the Talmud and things like that, where people would come in with like Talmudic verses about Jesus boiling and shit, and he would go out and say, like, I think we have a clip of all of this stuff. We'll get to all that in a second, like some of his greatest hits. But the Israel thing, like, let's say that he was starting to deviate from the party line, and it wasn't actually that he had an amount of how far he was willing to go. And remember, that criticizing secular Jews for being liberals is not off the table for even normie right wing sphere anymore.
Gavin McInnes was doing that kind of stuff. He was calling calling them Jews and the Ginos, Jews in name only.
Like
the good Jew, bad Jew dichotomy is something that is very prevalent within right wing discourse.
And if you watch Charlie Kirk talking about that long enough in that old clip of him doing it, like, he eventually makes similar kinds of distinctions. And he even says, like, there needs to be some apology or some reckoning, and like Jews need to somehow take some amount of responsibility for having done this.
James Lindsay used to do this. He years ago, he would talk about how like there has to be an acknowledgement that cultural Marxism like had way too many Jews that were behind behind it.
Dude, so many people have done this. Like, even that fucking Atheism Unstoppable fucking kangaroo faggot like came out and he was talking like this. Like, this was a point. People don't realize like, we're doing that, how popular like JQ stuff got and how much more mainstream influencers felt like they had to discuss it. It was not, and particularly the whole Jews are on the left, right? Because that way, when Jews aren't on the left, that's very easy to position them as good Jews that you like. Zionism is like nationalism. Zionism hates immigrants. Wow. Zionism hates Muslims and brown people. Not like those bad liberal Jews. These are the good Jews. And that's what they would do. They would all do that. And there was another one I saw where Charlie Kirk was talking to Ben Shapiro. And I think this is very recent. And again, I didn't see the show. And I only saw a truncated clip of it that was on this YouTube, that was on this Telegram channel. But I didn't really buy what was being sold to me, which is Charlie Kirk was talking to Ben Shapiro. And he was saying, well, I don't believe everything I'm told. What about you, Ben? And like, I'm trained to ask questions and I don't really trust the media. What about you? And Ben was like, no, of course I don't trust the media. He's like, and I've learned to ask questions. And I think I've learned to ask some questions about Israel, and I don't really trust what the media says about Israel. And Ben Shapiro was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I was like, obviously they're setting up some kind of media hates Israel discourse, which is very common. Right. It's a very common discourse amongst Jews and right-wing Jews and neocons that, like, the mainstream media hates Israel, slanders Israel, accuses them of genocide, only focuses on Palestinians, doesn't care about Jewish deaths and blah, 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 blah. Like, we've all heard this, right? So my view, my opinion is in that clip, unless somebody tells me different and I'm wrong, and he actually, like, grilled Ben Shapiro on this, then I think he was actually setting up that discourse. Like, I'm happy to be wrong about that. But, I don't think I am, though. Yes,
people see what they want to see.
Yeah, and what's funny is, you want to know what's really funny about this? Some of the people doing this were like like resistance channels on Telegram. Like, let me grab the video, because it was on one of these resistance channels, and they also then posted the other one, which again, people don't know that was years old. That was a years old clip of him talking about, like, left wing Jews, very old. Because I remember when he first started doing it. What do you got?
Do you need me to pull the clip? Because I'm looking at the.
Oh sure, if you want. Yeah,
I put Charlie Kirk secular Jews in on Twitter. So
see if you can grab the conversation with him and Shapiro too, if you can find that.
Okay. I should be able to.
I posted it in the chat in our group chat. So if you want to even just scroll.
Oh, you did. You put the Ben Shapiro. Then I should be able to find it easily. So
yeah. Okay, yeah, right, so here we go. Okay, this is, all right, I guess I'll just go to Twitter for this. This is Red Pill USA has got this tweet. Okay. Again, I think this was a while ago. Unless I'm remembering wrong, like, I feel like this is something I heard. Like, this is not new. This wasn't recent. I'm almost positive.
And Jewish donors, they have a lot of explaining to do, a lot of decoupling to do. Because Jewish donors have been the number one funding mechanism of radical, open border, neoliberal, quasi-Marxist policies, cultural institutions, and nonprofits. This is a beast created by secular Jews. And now it's coming for Jews, and they're like, what on earth happened?
Here we go. There it is. There it is.
And it's not just the colleges. It's the nonprofits. It's the movies. It's Hollywood. It's all of it. It's like time for you guys to wake up and say no more. Draw a line in the sand. I don't care if you hate me. And Jewish donors, they have a lot of explaining to do, a lot of decoupling to do.
Okay, so it's just going to be
because Jewish.
It's just going to be on repeat. Oh, it actually just did repeat. So there you go. That's exactly what I was saying. You see how he did the decoupling? He's saying they have a lot of decoupling to do. He did the decoupling. Yeah. He said the thing that they created is now coming for them. Again, very common rhetoric on the right wing, on the pro-Zionist, pro-Philo-Semitic right, is this. Okay.
I found the Ben Shapiro video.
Yes. So, all right. Yeah. So I was absolutely right. So let's,
because like I'm seeing a lot of shortened versions of it.
Yep.
And
so am I. And it cuts off.
But it cuts off very important stuff from what I can tell. So here's the full video context.
Yep. And it's exactly what I predicted it would be because I could tell. And again, it's funny because I think the fact that it was like an Arab channel that was posting that as if to posit that Israel killed him makes sense because I think if you're like in Lebanon or something, you might be under the impression that like the US media is like all Israel all the time, which it is in a way. There is criticism of Israel in the US media. It's very circumscribed carefully, right? And generally speaking, it is very pro-Israel. But if you might think that there's just nothing, and so the fact that this was cut off, and it's like you're not going to sit there with Ben Shapiro and anyway, but yeah, so I was basically right about this. So yeah.
So we're on Team Civilization here. We want to see the maniacs of Hamas be defeated.
One of the things that I find kind of astonishing in some of the folks on the right who are highly critical of Israel is actually the lack of the lack of skepticism when it comes to legacy media. Legacy media are radically anti-Israel overall. The New York Times can certainly not be accused of being a pro-Israel outlet. It'd be
absurd.
Very difficult to make the accusation that the Associated Press, which has worked hand in glove with Hamas for years, or Reuters, that these are wildly pro-Israel outlets. And yet, when it comes to the reporting, it seems to be sort of the opposite.
Ben,
so the perception of the legacy media is like owned by the Jews. And
I was
going to
say, Ben,
pro-Israel.
Come on. You Jews own the media, Ben. So, I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, the New York Times is owned by the Jews. Like, this is an objective fact. It's owned by Jews. Like, this, the Sulzberger family is a Jewish family. It has been owned by Jews for over 100 years. Like, this is not a fact in dispute if you want to talk about the New York Times. Additionally, there are people that work for the New York Times who have children in the IDF. This is also not something that's in dispute. So, like, maybe they're just more sophisticated in their Zionism than you are. Or maybe this is all a fucking work.
By the way, for timeline for timeline clarity purposes, this was Charlie Kirk's final interview with Ben Shapiro.
So yeah, this is recently. This is like very. This is within the last couple of weeks, by my understanding. So yeah, no, this is exactly the same interview from which the clip I was talking about was drawn, and he's about to do the bit that was in the clip that was being shared, cut off very. Strategically to make it seem like he was saying it's a thing that he wasn't really saying. And you'll notice, even in the previous clip we showed, which is, again, I think a couple of years old at least, when he first started saying that, again, because he had to account for the increasing anti-Semitism and criticism of Jews that was popping up amongst right-wing youth particularly. You don't have to worry about that when you're talking to boomers, right? Which is why what's funny is you're not going to see boomers talking about Israel killed Charlie Kirk. They're going to talk about deep state, globalist conspiracy, NGOs, leftist media, like maybe Soros. But again, they identify him as a Nazi, not as a Jew. Like that, you're not going to see boomers doing that. Israel did it. That's a Zoomer thing, right? Yeah. So let's keep going.
As you can tell by all the wonderful headlines you guys get.
Well, I mean, the accusation that we own the media has.
All I hear is like you guys. Oh, I guess he's talking about Jews, not just Israel. But yeah.
It's not prevented, yeah. You know, the Daily Wire from employing people who radically disagree with me on all of these matters. I mean, I don't agree with Matt Walsh on foreign policy. Matt obviously is a major host over at Daily Wire. And that's Matt's just my shop. And I'm overtly pro-Israel. Right? I mean, I'm not making any bones about this. I'm a Jew and I'm a Zionist. I'm not going to pretend that to say otherwise would be absolutely silly. To suggest that some sort of atheistic Jewish person by birth who does not care about Judaism or Israel owning the New York Times means the New York Times is pro-Israel is to ignore literally every bit of coverage they have ever done.
Sure thing.
We're running out of time here, but just last question on this, Ben. I know this might be a tougher question, but Bibi said, quote, I didn't like he said this, I'll be honest. You can't be MAGA if you're anti-Israel. I don't like it for a couple reasons. How did you analyze that statement from Bibi?
I mean, I think that there is the ungenerous way of interpreting that and then the generous way of interpreting that. So the ungenerous way is to suggest that you have to hold a particular position on every Israeli governmental activity in order to be MAGA, which, of course, is not MAGA. True. I mean, you can disagree from the right or from the left with Bibi's policies, and you can still be plenty MAGA. I think the idea that Bibi is putting out there is that if you are taking Hamas's side against Israel in a conflict, it is very difficult to align that with the stated positions of the Trump administration or what President Trump himself is doing right now.
I think you can have disagreements on Israel and still be MAGA. Obviously, you should be America first. But if you're pro-Hamas, you're something darker. And we
you're a brownoid.
he's calling Charlie. See, base Charlie Kirk is calling people brown coded.
Yeah, you're brown coded. So let me try and find, because that was from the same interview, but not exactly the same clip. So let me see if I can find it in this chat. But yeah, it's basically the same exact interview where maybe it's unnecessary because it's clear from that interview what the gist of it was. They were doing the. Media is anti-Israel. Like, I question mainstream media because I question that, in other words, my disbelief in mainstream media goes along with me. Okay, here we go. I've got it right here. So again, this is just silliness. This is just silly. Let me download this video here. It's just a wish. It's just like some kind of wanting it to be something it's not. Like, I don't know how else to interpret it. Let me see here. This is it's like a spooky
and one thing
video.
A friend,
so here we go, ready,
send to me, and one,
shut up, here it is. Okay, so it says 48 hours before he was assassinated, Charlie Kirk asked some critical questions. So let's,
and one thing a friend sent to me, interestingly, which is, okay, Dude, Charlie, we pushed back against the media on COVID, on lockdowns, on Ukraine, on the border, on, it's like, maybe we should also ask a question. Is the media totally presenting the truth when it comes to Israel?
Music.
Just a question, you know, that maybe we shouldn't believe everything the media says, because I know I've been conditioned to ask a lot more critical questions over the last couple of years. So, Ben, some people would accuse Israel of wanting to ethnically cleanse.
All right. So I'm assuming you didn't hear that because there was music.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I heard him talking.
Oh, that's interesting. That filter is pretty good then. Yeah. So you didn't hear, they have a bunch of dumb Jewish music behind it. It was very silly. And then he shows, okay, so then he shows, I'm going to mute it so I can read it. He shows Benjamin Netanyahu's tweet, says Charlie Kirk was murdered for speaking truth and defending freedom. Lion-hearted friend of Israel, he fought the lies and stood tall for Judeo-Christian civilization. I spoke to him only 2 weeks ago and invited him to Israel. Sadly, that visit will not take place. We lost an incredible human being. His boundless pride in America, his valiant belief in free speech will leave a lasting impact. Rest in peace, Charlie Kirk. So that was what Netanyahu said last night. Trump has said a bunch of stuff. Now, here's what I was getting at with the Israel thing as well, is that, like, I think it's a misunderstanding of how Israel would handle something. Like, I don't think Charlie Kirk went off script. Okay? I don't think he did. Let's say he did.
That's like that, there seems to be like selective editing in that clip. Like,
oh, 100%.
Because we heard everything in the context of how he feels about Israel.
And
so,
you know, and it was very selectively edited, because what Charlie Kirk was doing was setting up, he was teeing up for Ben Shapiro to knock down the accusation of genocide that the mainstream media is making, right? That is exactly the discourse that was being set up there. Don't try and tell me otherwise. I don't need, after the clips we just saw from that same interview, I frankly don't need to see the whole interview to know that. I was like kind of iffy on it a little bit, maybe, but I wasn't really. I was fairly sure I knew exactly what was going on there. He was setting up a discourse. He was teeing it up. He was doing slow pitch softball to Ben Shapiro so he can knock it out of the park on the claim that Israel is committing genocide. And the mainstream media, which is supposedly the Jews run it, right? All these Jews. And of course, then they get to stigmatize. They get to decouple, as Charlie Kirk said that they needed to do. They decouple the secular liberal Jews that run like the New York Times from good Jews, Zionist Jews, right-wing Jews, MAGA Jews, blah, 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 right? The decoupling, Charlie Kirk's like, they need to do the decoupling, and then he does the decoupling. He did the decoupling. Someone's doing the decoupling. So it's clear what he was doing, right? So again, these selectively edited clips telling me, and even in the one where he goes off and he talks about left-wing Jews and funding left-wing stuff and cultural market, even that I'm unimpressed with, because he immediately then he gives an alibi to the good Jews. Oh, no, now the good Jews have to worry about it. Look at this. Yeah, the good Jews have to worry about this monster that was created by the bad Jews. Yeah.
What is different between Devin McInnes and Charlie Kirk's rhetoric? What's the exact difference?
Charlie Kirk is better at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
Charlie Kirk
style.
Charlie Kirk is smoother. That's what it is. Yeah. It's better. Yeah. Like I'm telling you, man, the guy was good at what he did.
The actual content of the rhetoric, though, like, what is actually different between what Gavin McInnes believes and says and what Charlie Kirk believes and says?
Nothing. Kirk is more convincing, because Gavin McInnes is, frankly, Kirk is also good at appearing sincere, and Gavin is not. Gavin seems like
he probably is. But like, it's probably easy for him to appear sincere because he probably was being very
sincere. On some level, he really did believe in what he was saying. Yeah, Gavin McInnes is just obviously doesn't, whatever. I mean, maybe he believes in it too. I don't know. I think more people believe in it. I think it's hard for people to be total 100% shills. Like, they're shills, right? But once you become a shill, you have to actually, in a way, sort of actually become a shill, because it's difficult for people to actually just walk around being complete liars all the time. Unless they're Jewish. Jews can do it. Like, Jews have no problem. Ben Shapiro can sit there and lie to you six ways from fucking Shabbos, and, like, it wouldn't matter to him in the slightest. But someone, you know, a Gentile, it's more difficult for them to do that. But yeah, I just don't buy this base thing. Supposedly there is now pictures of the shooting suspect.
Yeah, there is. You want to see him?
Yeah. Well, I've got them on Telegram. Yeah. Is there a tweet or something like that would be easier?
So yeah, I got a tweet from FBI Salt Lake City.
Okay. So let's take a look at this real quick.
And there is a person that, like, that Twitter's going wild over and 4chan's going wild over. Like, they think that they've identified this person. I don't know if I should even, because, like, I don't trust anything that these people say. So.
Well, as long as you're not the one saying it, it's just alleged.
Yeah. Well, this person is alleged to have like a, well, obviously they're a tranny, first of all, but they're alleged to have had music with tracks like Charlie Kirk Dead at 31 and a picture of like where the shooting happened.
Is this the person that was allegedly tweeting about like they're going to be doing a big surprise or something like that when Charlie comes to their college? Because there was some, unless that was all fake shit. I don't know.
That I'm not sure.
I did see briefly on Twitter last night some claim of a person saying something like that, like some possibly trans identified individual saying something like, "Yeah, you guys are going to be basically like, you come to school tomorrow." There's going to be a big surprise or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, this person, was sort of funny because this person is clearly trying to look like someone that would go to a TPUSA event.
Yeah.
With the Mary Flag shirt. So this
person that they think that you know, amateur sleuths think that they've identified, Sky Valadez of Ogden, Utah, had a music project called God's Finest Scalpel, and in April released a digital album called Death to American Scum, which included a track called Charlie Kirk's Death Isn't Enough for Me.
I mean, maybe.
He
who knows?
Apparently had a song on SoundCloud called Charlie Kirk Dead at 31, which has since been removed.
Which is like...
But we'll see. I mean...
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? They did fire that reporter on MSNBC who basically... Yeah. Who said as soon as he heard about it happening, he's like, well, hate speech begets hate speech. What does he expect? And then, like, immediately fired. Which is, frankly, it's like, bro, how did you not know that was coming? Right, like, how did you not know that they were going to do that? Again, this is another thing. You know, I saw someone asked me in the space.
Well, this is something we were talking about in the space yesterday, yeah. Where because what MAGA people are expecting is that there's going to be this huge crackdown, that there's going to be this desire for a huge crackdown on media institutions that are, you know, gloating over Charlie Kirk's death. It's like, that's not really, there hasn't really been any gloating from those institutions. Like, people are conflating the insane shit they go out and seek in Reddit and Blue Sky, and then conflate that as though that's they can conflate that with the institutional figures. Like,
there's some people
who have said some things and have gotten into trouble for it, but the vast majority, I mean, like, I actually looked at Dan McClellan's Twitter, and he was doing praying for Charlie's family and all that.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. Yeah. I was joking when I guess Dan McClellan is off the hook now that we got photos of the shooter, and Dan McClellan is definitely large. Yeah. Of course, Dan McClellan. I was joking. I was making fun of him, but
like, I know, but I'm just saying, like,
but also know, people, like that wasn't serious.
Well, this happens a lot when people are going through like the initial shock of something, is where they'll find, because you're going to find psychos and stuff like that. You're like, that are going to be like celebrating and whatnot and conflating that with what the institutional figures are saying.
And the fact is, there is no institutional celebration of this. Here is the New York Times today. And this is not by the conservative columnist. This is by Ezra Klein. So this is the opinion column today in the New York Times.
Secular Jew.
Ezra Klein, secular, atheistic, secular Jew. Left liberal, very liberal, very pro-immigration. Charlie Kirk was practicing politics the right way. And there he is. His little avatar there. Ezra Klein, opinion columnist. The foundation of a free society is ability to participate in... I mean, this is going to be cliches. Like, I don't think we need to read this, but, like, just so you know... In fact, I don't really want to. But, like, because it's just going to be boring cliches about free speech and discourse and blah, 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 right? So yeah, and there's not a single major Democrat that hasn't come out and said praying for Charlie Kirk. I know there's some people that were like spitting in their face about it, and that's fine if you want to, fine. But like, and frankly, even the there was this thing about how the House erupted into a shouting match or something like that when a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk was called. That's not really what happened. They observed the moment of silence for Charlie Kirk. Both sides of the House observed it. After Mike Johnson gaveled them back to order after the moment of silence, Lauren Boebert and some other conservative congresswoman in this case, yelled and tried to get his attention. They said, "We want a verbal prayer. We don't just want a moment of silence. We want a verbal prayer," because Lauren Boebert said something like, silent prayers are answered with silence and something like this, right? And then Democrats started saying, like, well, you didn't pray for the mass shooting or the school shooter today. Why didn't we pray for the mass shooters? Why don't we pray for all the why don't we pray for all the kids in school shootings? And then someone's like, why don't you pass some gun laws, you hypocrites, right? So there was this moment of tension, but it wasn't like that. No one disrespected the moment of silence. Like, that was respected by everybody. And arguably you could say then, and Mike Johnson was gabbling and he was saying, for those that want to do a verbal prayer, we'll do it like after the session, and like everyone, you can stay behind and we'll pray for him here if you want to. Yeah. And so
here's what News Nation Now says. Boebert, it's affirming what you're saying, but people the full context here. Boebert, also appearing on News Nation, confirmed that her suggestion for prayer preceded the disruption, but she told On Balance that Kirk, a Republican, influenced her credit of helping Donald Trump get elected to a second term, deserved more than a moment of silence. Kirk was skip that part. I believe that silent prayers get silent results.
Right.
If you are silent, you lose by default, Boebert said. She said the prayer she suggested was also for the victim shot at a high school in Evergreen, Colorado on Wednesday. That's when we were shouted down, Boebert said. Watching the dispute unfold was Representative Jill Tokuda, Democrat Hawaii, who said the killing of Kirk had an impact on House members of both parties. I sat in silence because what I felt was a lot of my friends across the aisle in a lot of pain. They lost a friend. They lost somebody that they cared about deeply, Tokuda said. And I felt a lot of fear on my side of the aisle, too. She expressed hope that the two parties can ultimately find common ground and a way to move forward.
Right. And so, again, I think that there was a lot of shit that was being claimed about mainstream of liberaldom, Democrat Party. Like, and again, if you actually sit back and take a look and understand American politics, you know that, frankly, the Democrat politicians, okay, are not going to go out there and say this is great. They're just not going to. And they're not going to, then no one is going to disrespect when a moment of silence for somebody that was just shot. No one's going to do that, right? Now, the disruption happened. I don't even know. Maybe that's all not, maybe Boebert's telling the truth, maybe not. But everybody agrees that everyone respected the moment of silence, and the fighting didn't happen until afterwards. My only point here is that people love to spread this kind of stuff to make it, to make the enemy what they want it to be, or make the thing. Yes, you will find, absolutely, you will find people on TikTok where we're celebrating it. You absolutely will find that.
Oh, right? Yeah. Blue sky is going to be like a fever swamp like of this kind of stuff, like
right,
and it's like that's what some people are trying to do, is like they're trying to comb through Blue Sky to see if they can get some liberals like in trouble with their employers, but that's about the extent of
it. Probably will be able to. You'll probably be able to. That will probably be a successful mission. I am going to predict it, that there will be liberals that get fired over this. There already have been. One of them was from MSNBC. So, yeah. No, there will be. And I think there's been other... I think I've heard about a few other instances where people were fired for what they said about this.
If you say insane shit on social media, you can get fired. It's like, no, doesn't matter what, like, it doesn't have to be of a specific political persuasion. If you're saying some out there shit that's a bad look for your employer, then you might lose your job.
Yeah, I mean, it really does sort of depend on a lot of factors. But yeah, if you're like... I don't know. I'm sure that there will be people getting fired over this. I'm not going to get fired.
Yeah, but it's going to be like nobody's. That's the thing.
It's not going to matter.
Other than that one, other than MSNBC person, but they made the mistake of like saying the stupid
they'll
shit
be back.
They said on there.
They'll be back. They'll get a job somewhere else. They'll probably, you know, the person, maybe they got enough money. They got enough fuck you money to retire. I don't know. But that person will be back on air, on some left liberal fucking channel doing something soon enough. What do we see? We got some updates from the New York Times. Anything? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we'll get a name or not. So, yes, FBI, just all the New York Times saying they found the released images of the person. So, I wonder if this releasing images of the person indicates, because they said they weren't going to release them unless they needed to get tips from the public on who they were. And it sounds like there are people that are giving them such tips. Dude, I don't know if you saw this. There was like some. Did you see the video? I don't know if I can find it again. Of like the nigger like stealing the merch in the aftermath.
Oh, I got like I can I because I retweeted it on my timeline.
Oh, you do. You retweeted
today, so I can get it for you.
It's just like. And somebody was like, oh, yeah, thanks. I'll take the hat or whatever it was. I think it was Lord Bebo posted that, right? Oh, Lord Bebo, wonderful. Such a wonderful account, right? Oh, it was Russia Show who was like trying to amp up, like, what? I don't know. Like some amp up feeling against the Ukrainian girl. Because he was one of the main ones doing, like, look at her Black Lives Matter post.
Well, he was the post that went super viral. Like, I don't know if he was the first one to post that, but his was the
his
one
went viral. Well, he posted it, and his intentions in posting it were clear. So, you know, nice one, Lord Bebo. Well done.
Yeah, here I got you right here. There you go.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. This is like, dude. Okay, let me see. What are we? I'm sorry. It's like, bro, like. Okay,
let's go, guys. I don't know. Let's go.
Yeah. Grab me out. Hey, yo, grab me out.
Go up, guys. Come on.
Let's
go up, guys. I don't know. Let's go.
I have no idea. Let's go.
Come on, guys.
What are you doing? Get the fuck out.
The cop is fucking pissed. Yeah,
the guy at the end, the guy who's picking up the hat is like very happy to have a hat.
Yeah, he's like, hey, look, at least I wanted a hat, though. Like, come on. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, excuse me. I don't know, man. I don't really, I mean, again, I'm not like particularly sad about this, but it's like, it is what it is. Like, I don't know what to say about it. Like, I'm expected to emote or say it's really bad, but like, I didn't like Charlie Kirk. I didn't like his rhetoric. I didn't like what he standing for, what he stood for. I didn't like the kinds of things he said. And I think that he was ultimately a negative in the space of discourse. And I'm not going to, like, dance on his fucking grave, but I don't. And I, again, people got angry at me for what I said yesterday, which is all I really said was, you don't need to go out and pretend to feel really sad if you don't feel really sad. You just don't. And I also disagreed with this idea that he was some moderate. Because this was another thing going on. He's so moderate. If they would kill him for what he said, they would kill you for what you say. He wasn't a moderate Zionist. His opinions on Zionism were well off the scale of normal opinion.
Tell a Palestinian that Charlie Kirk was a moderate.
Right. Dude, you know what's funny is there was speculation in some places. Of course, Laura Loomer was trying to say it was a Muslim. And there was even speculation in some groups that I'm in that it could have, maybe it was actually a Palestinian. And some people even were like hoping it would be a Palestinian. I was like, I don't hope it would be a Palestinian. One, I don't actually think that would be good for the Palestinians. I actually don't think that would be good for them to do that.
I know we had the people in our chat that have their own opinion. Like most of the people that I saw that were hoping it was a Palestinian are the type of people that are like, I want to be oppressed by Palestinians.
Yes, and that's also why I didn't think it would be a good thing. Also, Palestinians are like more optics conscious than you think. And, like, this is not, right. At least in America, right? They would not do something like that, right? I mean, at least if it were a Palestinian, it would be, like, a lone nut, right? It would actually be someone who was a lone nut. But also, frankly, when's the last time a lone nut Palestinian assassinated somebody with Bobby Kennedy? Right? At least so we're told. I mean, there's the MK Ultra thing, which is, there's actually some plausibility to the fact that he was brainwashed. I actually generally don't go with that stuff, but I think there's a possibility. There's very good reasons to think that Sirhan Sirhan was fucking brainwashed, possibly to frame Palestinians for getting rid of somebody like Bobby Kennedy. But, and yes, my troll on that was a troll, just so everyone understands. Because a lot of people got mad at me about that. When I said, remember the worst crime a Palestinian ever committed in America was killing the anti-white attorney general. And some people got extremely angry with that. And I was like, look, it's a fucking joke. Seriously, chill. But feel like too soon, Mike. It's too soon to make Bobby Kennedy jokes. Wow. Okay. Jeez. Oof. Stepped on a landmine there. But yeah, let's go through some of Kirk's greatest hits here. What's this one here? I don't know exactly which ones I'm going to get because I just got these like weirdly. Oh, here's one. Here's one. Here's a good one. You're going to like this one. Here's a good one. Yeah. Boom. Today. Today, Botswana decriminalized homosexuality. President Trump's global push to decriminalize homosexuality is achieving results around the world. Will CNN and MSNBC give his administration any credit for this monumental achievement? So
now you,
boom.
And now you know why, Jeffree Star and others were his, some of his biggest fans.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Jeffree Star is just like a fag, right? Because he wasn't.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, well, I mean, you think the drag queen with a makeup company is gay?
Well, he's a male that likes cosmetics.
Yeah.
I'm a man that likes makeup. Oh, it's going to be isolated, but...
Listen, I may be a man who enjoys makeup, but at least I don't deny my biological reality.
Listen, I'm a man who likes ranch. That's actually not even true. I don't like ranch. But, like, yeah, it's all right on some things, but it's not my go-to. But no one ever believes me.
I know.
It's totally true.
You've been saying this for years, and it just nobody just believes
like,
you.
Like water off of a raincoat. So I'm not sure exactly. Is this one? Let's see. What are we getting here?
I don't think. Okay.
I know this. This one is bad. This is probably one of the worst. Maybe we shouldn't have led with it. But whatever.
Which one is?
This is the Palestine doesn't exist thing.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah.
So yeah. Here we go.
I don't think the place exists.
What?
Because it doesn't. It's called Judea and Samaria. It's not called Palestine.
You don't believe that Palestine have the right to exist?
No. Everyone has a right to exist. Show me where it is. It's a non-existent place.
I don't think we're going to.
That's why we're
on
different planets, right? But what is the national identity of Palestine?
Well, hold on a second.
Palestinians.
Hold on a second. Like, you're on a different planet because the planet you're actually on is planet Earth, where Palestine exists. And, like, a place called Palestine has existed on maps for thousands of years. Fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you are on a different fucking planet.
Somebody tell me, like, how is Charlie Kirk's argument any different than what his Jewish friends say about us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like, so what is that? What do we take from this? Well, let's let the clip finish.
What is that?
Like, what do you mean? What is that?
Yeah, what ethnicity are they?
Arabs?
Okay, so all Arabs are Palestinians?
That's fucking retarded. What? That is so... Wow. Also, look at the shit-eating grin on his face here.
Oh, yeah. He's so pleased with
like
himself.
The toothy fucking grin on his fucking... He's loving it.
The Austrians don't exist. Because, like, are you saying all Austrians are German? Because their ethnicity is German. So, like, are all Germans Austrians? See? Like, boom. Libtard owned.
Yeah. No, it's just... It's a retarded argument... And it's a Jewish argument, and it's one that I've been hearing for years. And whenever I hear it again, I'm like, "You think that's fucking?" That's also how I know you're getting talking points, because I've been hearing Hasbara talking points from before Charlie Kirk, when Charlie Kirk was 10 fucking years old. Okay, I've been hearing this shit. So when he comes out and says it, I'm like, "You didn't come up with that." Same with the fucking Cam Higby, that fucking faggot, and his little faggot friend Lance. Like, when I hear them saying these things, they're all smug, too, as if, like, no one ever heard this shit before?
You think Cam Higby is positioning himself to try and take over TPUSA?
He doesn't have the fucking chops. I'm sorry. Charlie Kirk is, like, buries that guy in charisma levels. I'm sorry, bro. That guy choked up in a recorded segment for Fox News. Like, get the fuck out of here, bro. I don't think he has the fucking... he maybe would like to, but I do not think he has the chops to do it, like to stand in front of a crowd this big and like try and he would fucking fold like a wet blanket.
No, but they are Arabs. What you trying to say?
I'm trying to say, because at what point does somebody become a Palestinian?
When he was born in Palestine, or if his parents are Palestinians?
Again, this is why we're talking past each other.
What you trying to say?
I don't think the place exists.
What?
Because it doesn't. It's called Judea and Samaria. Okay, it's not called Palestine.
You don't believe that Palestine have the right to exist?
No. Everyone has a right to exist. Show me where it is. It's a non-existent place.
Okay, yeah, that's. I don't think we're going to.
That's why we're on
that.
Different planets, right?
Yeah, we're looping here.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. And well, the clip itself loops, but no, like.
Oh, the clip is looped.
Okay. Yeah, because they did like the highlight at the beginning, and then the whole context of
it.
But that is such a disingenuous argument. That, like, because how do you win that? What would it take, Charlie Kirk, for you to acknowledge? Are there people there? Are there Arabs there?
How do you determine self-determination and nationalism?
Yeah, why do you like get a say?
It's not like in the 19th century when nationalism started becoming a major force in the world that a lot of these national states pre-existed. They didn't like they. It wasn't like that. These states existed, and then they discovered nationalism. Nationalism leads to the creation of these states.
Also, I mean, Charlie Kirk
leads to the creation of these states.
Like, yeah, I mean, and to some extent, like I've said, yes, the Palestinian national movement was formed in response to Israel, but that doesn't mean that there were no Arabs living there. And the Arabs that were living there prior to the influx of Zionists probably wouldn't have identified themselves as Palestinians and probably wouldn't have seen themselves as particularly different from Lebanese or Syrians or Egyptians. You know, they would have been maybe, depending on what part of you in the north, maybe you see yourself closer to a Syrian and south in Gaza, around Gaza, you see yourself more close to Egyptian. It doesn't matter. Like
most national movements, most nationalism is born out of the result of being in reaction to something else. That's one of the reasons why nationalism exploded in the 19th century. Partly was because of the French army coming into so many different places, and with now the speed of communication and everything, people were starting to realize that there's things that bound kinship groups closer together than the foreigners that they were interacting with.
Right, and frankly, also, the name Palestine has been attributed to that part of the world in one way or another. And frankly, even if you're a Bible believer, Charlie Kirk, there are maps from the biblical era of Judea and Samaria that also show a place called Philistia in the exact place where Gaza is, with God, the actual Gaza city, what is now being destroyed by the Jews, there as existing in Philistia, which was a Phoenician settlement area along the coast, which was never Jewish, always been Palestine. And there's also Phoenician, like probably Phoenician blood mixed in with the Palestinian Arabs, just like there is with the Lebanese Arabs. But yeah,
we're supposed to take seriously this argument that anybody can be an American, but nobody can be a Palestinian.
That's good. That's a good one. And also, like, just Jews do similar stuff with white people. Like, what's a white person? How do you define that? What is that? I don't think that exists. That's not real. Like, what's your culture? What's white culture? I don't think something called white culture exists. How often have you heard this? And how often have you, frankly, felt thunderstruck by questions like this? Because how do you actually answer such a disingenuous fucking question?
Show me on the map where Whitetopia is.
Yeah, show me
you
where...
Be white? Like, where's the white homeland? Show me.
It's Europe. That one's easy.
They go like, oh, you mean Germany? Oh, you mean France? Oh,
which
you,
one?
Like, they'll just keep breaking it.
They'll just keep subdividing. And because it's not a real argument. It's fake. It's an argument to confuse and get... And you could see the look on that guy's face, right? He was like... But I actually give them credit for not getting, like, they're people from Palestine. Yeah, they're Arabs. No, not every Arab is a Palestinian. Okay. No, that's a dumb fucking thing to say.
I almost wanted to be like the James Franco meme with the guy, like, hearing a people be deconstructed first time, huh?
Yeah, right? I mean, but he was actually, the funny thing is his level of being thunderstruck was such that he didn't even play into it. He was just like, what are you fucking stupid? Like, what? Like, yeah, because again, it's like a cheat. Like, let me win this argument without having a habit, because if the Palestinians were never there, then there's no, then what? So who are the Jews killing then? Who are they killing? Oh, well, they have some right to kill them. He says, oh, everyone has a right to exist. Do they though? Really? So let me ask you this, Charlie. I can't ask you anything now, unfortunately, but, do the people that, that lived there, which objectively there were, if you're going to tell me there was no people that lived there prior to the arrival of Jews, like, that's bullshit. That's a lie. That can be proven that that's a lie. And frankly, Jewish historians, serious ones, don't even try to make that argument. People that do a serious history of the Zionist movement, of the settlement in Palestine, and frankly, they called it a state in Palestine. I mean, when Hitler talks about this, in Mein Kampf, he says, building up a state in Palestine. What was he talking about? Oh, that's Hitler. Well, okay. But, like, everybody acknowledged it was Palestine. Why did the British Mandate call it Mandate Palestine? Was that an invention? Now, this is a problem because there are people that know enough history of the place that when Jews and Jew shills try to make this argument, it's easy to say, well, the British called it Palestine. And then they have talking points to deal with that. But Kirk would say, I don't think that place exists. And it's like, that doesn't make sense because there was such a place as called Palestine, and the British named it that. Are you saying that they were lying or something? And, you know, that it was a region before it was like a state. And they always did this thing, oh, who was the first president? Who fucking cares? There's human beings that live in a place. Do they have the right to not be eliminated by Jews? And Charlie would have to answer. I mean, he can't answer anything now, but back then he would have had to have answered. No, they don't. Because that's ultimately what he was getting at. That's ultimately the point that he was trying to get at. So let's go to this other one. I think this is the one where it starts. And we're going to be a little bit of overlap here. So we've got two clips that overlap, but this, I think this is the first one.
And how they're killing little.
Okay. I'm not sure. We might do some repetition here, but just that's, we're dead to live with it.
Okay. Yeah. This guy. Yeah.
Kids, man.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Killing kids. You mean, wait, they drop leaflets before they bomb in Gaza. They warn civilian corridors before they ever engage military.
That's a war crime, just so you know. I know that. Oh, I don't believe in international law. That's all fake. Okay, yeah, that's, again, when you do that, what you're trying to do is get out of the fact that you are just confessing to criminal violations of international law, which is actually not something that Israel ever does. So, you know, it's very funny when you try to be like, le-based, nihilist guy. It's like, it's first of all, that's only going to be impressive to a small segment of humanity, but also, like, it's like, okay, fine, you don't care about the idea of war crimes, so then shut the fuck up about Nazis, shut the fuck up about everything, right? Just shut up. Shut up about anything. It wasn't illegal to kill Charlie Kirk. He wasn't caught, right? I mean, we're going to go by this, right? If law doesn't exist, if law isn't real, if it's purely, like, might makes right, well, then fine, until the guy that, and frankly, even if he does get caught, that's just a rear guard action. Was it the UN Security Council is coming in now? No, he did it, so it's legal, right? Nihilist guy.
You could just do things.
Yeah. He's just allowed, well, it might makes right, and, you know, Charlie Kirk, therefore, he is allowed to shoot him. Maybe if he gets caught later on, that doesn't change the fact that he was shot. You can't do anything about that. So, you can't enforce Charlie Kirk not being dead, right? So you can't enforce a UN Security Council resolution, right? You can't enforce international criminal law, right? I mean, you can see where this argument goes, right?
Yeah.
Barely. They do emergency medical procedures for any person in Gaza.
That's a lie.
You understand what's actually...
They're doing good, but it's okay for them to do bad then.
It's called war, okay? And in war, sometimes bad things happen. Who started this? It's not a war crime. Throwing around war crime is a ridiculous... You know what a war crime is? A war crime is going into kibbutzes.
Killing children is a war crime.
Going into kibbutzes, going into the Nova Music Festival, going into people's places of residences on October 7th, and putting...
So, okay, you guys keep bringing up October 7th. You guys are doing
bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty important.
Okay.
If you're going to all of a sudden attack Jews on their holiest day of the interior of Israel, expect a whirlwind, and don't complain about it when it comes forward.
I had never heard this before, that this was their holiest day. He says that again. There's other context in the other clip, but I think it's basically the same.
Isn't Yom Kippur their holiest day?
Was it Yom Kippur?
Maybe it was because Yom Kippur is in October, so...
Yeah, and it was on the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. It's funny, they don't really talk about that much anymore. They just call it October 7th. Well, now October 7th is going to be a holy Jewish holiday, so, yeah. Just like Yom HaShoah Day or whatever.
So what's happening is that, so basically what Israel doing is bad. Hamas is doing is bad, okay?
I'm not even contending what Israel is doing is bad.
What Israel doing isn't bad. Killing children isn't bad, is what you're saying?
Hold on a second, but you have to go instance by...
Is it or not?
Are they intentionally killing kids? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
No, they are not.
So
that is complete BS.
Why are there so many dead kids? Why are you okay with dead babies?
Good question. Why are there dead kids? Do you think Israel sits around and they say, how do we kill more kids in Gaza?
They literally do. Like, they literally do. Yes, they literally do that, Charlie.
I mean, so why are they killing kids then?
Exactly. Let's think. Maybe it's because Hamas uses the kids as human shields on top of their military bases.
Yeah,
maybe that's why.
Maybe because the people
of Hamas have no concern for the life of their own people.
That's such bullshit. I don't even think we need... Let's see. Is there other stuff? Because there's another clip.
Do you think... Who's the bad actor? Israel or Hamas?
Okay, here we go. Same clip.
I believe that Hamas is doing wrong, but that's not okay for what Israel is doing to the Palestinians.
What is Israel doing exactly? Tell me in detail. Where is it happening?
A
war crimes, really. How?
What do you mean how? They're killing little kids, man.
Well, hold on. Killing kids. You mean they drop leaflets before they bomb in Gaza.
It's the same thing. It's just a little bit of... Yeah. Let me see. Does it go anywhere the other one didn't? Let me see.
Do you think Israel? Do you think Israel sits around and they say, "We're gonna. How do we kill more kids in Gaza today?"
I mean, so why are they killing kids then?
Exactly. Let's think. Maybe it's because Hamas.
It's the same clip. So there's only like a couple. I should just use that one because it's just like a couple seconds at the beginning of that one that weren't in the other one. But it's the same clip. But yes, no. Literally, they do sit around and talk about how do we kill kids, and we discussed this yesterday on the Daily Show, where we talked about this Jew. Who's a sniper, an IDF sniper. Alex found this article, who actually gave an interview where he just talked about this. And he was talking about how he shot somebody and their family kept trying to retrieve their body. And he kept shooting the members of the family trying to retrieve this dead body of their family member. And some of them were teenagers. So he literally sat there and thought about it and shot. And they were not armed. There was no implication any of these people were armed. He's confessed to this. He said it in interviews. He's proud of it. He's in Israel. He's fine. Nothing's happening to him. And he says that these are Amalek. They deserve it. So, and frankly, let's be honest. You want to do that? They would do it to you too? That Jew would do that shit to you too. He would do that shit to you too. And it's very funny. It's like all the people telling me like, oh, the person that killed Charlie Kirk would kill you too. And then other people telling me, well, it was Mossad that killed me. I know shit Mossad would kill me. What does that mean? You know, I mean, frankly, if it was Israel, which it wasn't, then it's just lie down with dogs and wake up with fleas at this point. Right. You know, like, you know, then don't get involved with fucking Zionist shilling, because if the thanks you get, because frankly, there is an element here, which is like you never get rewarded for Jews in the end for what happens. You know, like you never get rewarded in the end.
The ADL did just like made like a pithy little, you know, statement, and that's it. Like
that's what you get.
You know, Charlie Kirk's usefulness, like that's, you know, as your last shilling.
Yeah, he's no use anymore from him. The ADL doesn't really give a shit, but there are Jews that are positioned to have to care about this, and they are probably wondering how are we going to keep TPUSA or something like it going, and is there a replacement figure, and is this format now even something anybody is going to want to do, right? Is this like prove me wrong shit on campus? Is this format something anybody's even going to want to do anymore?
Well, that's why I wondered yesterday if this was going to have a chilling effect on this type of stuff of wanting to. And Marcel,
oh, it definitely will.
I remember Marcel thought it wouldn't, but I kind of question that. I think it's going to make people, you know, get a bit gun shy about getting involved.
Here's another thing, because I already saw some interviews with security experts and things like that, and one of them, of course, was saying this was a professional hit or something like that. And it's like, okay, you're just feeding in. It's like some guy. They were doing a thing on Fox, not Fox News, I think it was Fox 5 New York, where they were talking about this, and of course it was leading up to like 9/11, and it was some guy who's actually, his name was like Balboni, which is hilarious. It was like Mario Balboni. I can't remember his actual first name, but his last name was Balboni. He's like some fucking ex-cop security expert in New York City. And he's doing, first of all, 9/11 was a day we all came together. I'm actually exaggerating his New York accent, but I don't actually need to find the clip, whatever. But he was doing that this was a professional hit. Like, this looks like a professional hit. If the shooter was able to hit a shot at that distance, disappear into the crowd. And I am not at all prepared to discuss the competency of a shot like that. Like, to me, it seems like, okay, purely in terms of shooting, that seems impressive. Just based on the distance I saw of where that rooftop was and where he was, to me, that looks like that would be a tough thing to do. I don't know shit about shooting. People have told me it's really not. If you have a scope, whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to comment on that. To me, it seems like that would be a hard thing to do. Not just the being willing to shoot somebody and kill them, but also like, just that actual shot, like, you know, that seems like it would be hard. I don't know anything about shooting, though, so it's entirely possible that I'm wrong. But this guy was doing that, and then he was saying then to, like, get away, blend in. It's like this is some kind of professional hit job. And I'm like, okay, you are feeding in to all kinds of conspiracy shit now, right? Like, this, like right there on Fox 5. And, of course, he's talking about, like, we have to remember, like, 9/11 was a day that brought us all together, and hopefully this will bring us all together. I'm like, yeah, it's not. It's not gonna. It won't. But, you know, it was just like, that's more of the, that's going to feed this Mossad shit. I don't think that was that guy's intention. That guy probably fucking loves Israel, right? I mean, if it's like some security expert from New York, who's like a 9/11, like a guy who never got over 9/11, like, no, that guy probably loves Israel. And Fox 5, pro-Israel, you know, it's still the Fox, it's still Murdoch shit, right? It's still super fucking pro-Israel. But nonetheless, it's like there, you know, it's funny, so a friend of mine was saying he was going into boomer spaces, and there's no Israel did it in those spaces. It's all globalist elites,
Democrats,
left-wing media, NGOs, global elites, deep state, all that shit, right? And of course, they're declaring war. I don't take that seriously. And there's even people saying like, "Oh, well, like Trump is going to declare." Who's Trump going to declare war on?
Yeah, like. You know, people just think that if you yell on Twitter or say things, that makes things happen. But you have to, like, when it comes to policies, you have to have an actual policy.
I'm genuinely curious, would the target be if Trump were to do a crackdown? I think Trump himself said something along the lines.
Well, I mean, you have Trump's biggest dick riders talking about declaring the Democratic Party to be like a criminal institution, RICO-ing.
It's silly.
So you guys just aren't going to engage with reality.
I mean, okay. Yeah.
When I'm dealing with stuff like this, people like this, like, why do you think I have the flippant responses that I do? Because I'm dealing with people who aren't engaging with reality. What do you want me to say to them?
How can I talk to somebody who thinks you're going to RICO the whole Democrat Party? I mean, go ahead and try. And if you want to talk about wasting the entire administration in a legal battle you'll never win, go ahead and try and RICO the Democrat Party. In fact, I don't even think that would go that far. I don't think that there's a single court that would recognize that, particularly given the whole Democrat Party was shedding just nothing but endless tears for Charlie Kirk. So, like, again, it's not even like what you're looking for is even there, right? So, again, like, no, the fucking queer on TikTok is the guy who's actually, like, that's actually the Democrat Party, right? It's like, okay, sure thing.
Looks like DC Comics fired like a tranny writer for celebrating Kirk's death. So there you go. There's another one fired.
Right. There's another liberal Jewish. But there's a very Jewish outlet there. But what's funny is comics are actually fairly Zionist. Like, that's what's sort of funny about it. Although I know the Superman movie.
It's a tranny writer, and like as I said, like the trannies have a particular fixation on Charlie Kirk.
Well, because he really, frankly, was one of the ones that did, in fact, make the anti. He was a very vocal. That was one thing he was a very vocal spokesman for. But again, you know, that's why I was like, I'm obviously anti-trans ideology, and it's obviously a sick abomination and stuff. But in a way, it is like. It is a easy enemy because it is something that basically everybody hates. All mainstream conservatism was against the tranny thing, right? It was a very common thing. And Kirk made that kind of one of, other than being a Zionist, he made that kind of like his calling card. And so, of course, they wanted to kill him. I also remember do you remember the Vaush interview from years ago, a few years ago?
Yeah, I remember.
It was basically
didn't they come into weird agreement?
They agreed on everything. It was funny. Like we started to do 1.5 speed on it.
I should find that.
We did a show on it, and then before
probably see if I can find any clips.
See if you can find clips from that. I mean, you don't bother getting clips from our show. Did a clip of it. And this is how long ago this was, because when we still had a YouTube channel, and then of course I was also mirroring all that shit to what was that fucking BitChute, and then I think also put it up on Odyssey. I don't even know what's up on Odyssey, if Odyssey even still exists or not, but if there is, maybe TRS channel with videos on it. I have no idea what's on there though. It's probably that video, probably isn't, because I don't know if I managed to upload actually everything. So I had hundreds and hundreds of videos from that old YouTube channel that was very nice to have, but you know, no more. But yeah, that was one where I had like Charlie Kirk and Vaush, like their faces like morphed into one another, because they literally like found agreement on basically everything, and it was, and even those things they didn't agree on were like pretty minor. And I think it was probably trans stuff, But even then, I think Charlie Kirk like kind of cucked out a little bit of sort of like doing the bit of like, I don't care, you know, what adults do, but I don't, you know, children shouldn't be introduced to it. And I think Vouch from his perspective cucked on that too. Like, but again, if they disagree, that was like the one thing they disagreed on. Everything else they were basically in complete fucking simpatico with. So yeah. Let's see what else we got here. Here's another Kirk clip. Oh, here we go. Now, this one is got some... Unfortunately, it's not just Kirk talking. Someone's doing, like, creative editing, which always annoys me when people get creative. I'd rather just see the actual clip. But here's Kirk blaming white women.
White college indoctrinated women will ruin America if we let them. They are brainwashed. They are completely indoctrinated. The worldview that is being uploaded to young women on a daily basis is hyper-narcissistic, hyper-selfish. I am the only one that matters. Who are you to tell me how I should act? And it makes them miserable. I do not know how to solve this problem. I am open to suggestions.
Well, I've got a suggestion. Stop shilling for Jews. Oh, I guess you have to do that anyway. let's see. So, that you know, I know that there's people that would be like, but he's right about that. I guess. But it's also like, yeah, but... The problem there is like, you know, the solution. What did conservatism do about that? Did Charlie Kirk style conservatism ever address this issue? Did it ever tackle it? No, it just became another fucking scapegoat. And the frankly, like that whole all that rhetoric now just bleeds into everything we try and talk about. Where even to the point where, you know, now granted, most people were not blaming. What's her name? Irina. What's her last name? The girl that was stabbed.
I don't remember her last name. I just
most people were not blaming her, but there was a cadre of people that absolutely were dedicated to blaming her for what happened to her, and that kind of rhetoric just feeds into it. I mean, like, why are you blaming the victim? You know, like the white, because did they come up with this ideology? Because there are people that will tell you that they did. And there's other people who will tell you like, oh, well, they like it the same way that like blacks liked Jewish advocacy. Because again, Charlie won't tell you that it was Jews that did this. Although he does the Jew thing in the other one, but he never connects these two, right? He decouples. But people make this argument as if they're like, yeah, but you don't get it. Like, the white girls like this ideology. And so it's the same as, like, if you're telling me that blacks are victims of, like, NAACP ideology that Jews did for them. Like, Jewish advocacy for blacks is if blacks are, like, victims of said advocacy. Like, well, first of all, I'm not black. Okay? Like, blacks are not important for the perpetuation of my race, right? So I have no real interest. First of all, yes, obviously there were blacks that liked that and benefited from that. You could argue that blacks as a whole did not. I am not that interested in that argument, although some people make it, and if they want to make it, that's fine for them. If there's blacks that want to make that argument, good for them. I'm not going to get in their way. But you know, it doesn't, first of all, I would say no, white women don't in the end benefit, because as Charlie himself said, they're miserable, right? So in the end, does the Jewish shit, does that make white women happy? There are people that insist that it does. Maybe they think so when they're young, but as we all know, if they get older and they stay like this, they don't feel so happy, and they're not running anything. So if they're the one, so is it them that's running the country into the ground, or is it the people that's pumping that shit into their faces and their ears that are the ones that are ruining the country, Charlie? You basically contradict yourself. You said they're the ones ruining it. They're going to run the country into the ground. And then this ideology that's being pumped, why don't you stop the fucking spigot? Why don't we identify who's behind the spigot and cut it off? Because that would implicate the Jews. And he only wants to do like one segment on that, in which he then makes Jews the victims. Why are Jews the... Here's what's funny, right? Charlie's willing to advocate for the Jews that are the victims of this awful Jewish ideology, right? They're the poor victims suddenly, right? Why don't you talk about white women like that? Right?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no.
It's very funny to me that it's like the same people, and I hear this all the time from people that promote this. It's like, even he didn't say anything about Jews here, and he's just blaming white women. But like, if you're suggesting to me, and I've heard this from people that that do say, like, you know, exactly what Charlie said, which is actually the biggest victims of the former Jewish left-wing activism are like the good Jews, the right-wing Jews, Zionist Jews, the good ones, conservative Jews or whatever. They're the victims, and they're now hearing it, and like, and now we have to protect them. But you never say that about the white girls, right? If you're saying, you ever say white girls are actually the victims of the ideology and that you have to protect them? No, I never hear that. I don't hear that.
Whenever a white woman tends to have like a moment where they come around, these people all become like Rorschach, where they get to like whisper, "No, we're never helping you."
Which is, you know, which was remarkable to me when the whole thing when the whole thing with that guy. You can't pin this on Kirk, but this is that guy Andrew Wilson, who was doing that shit, who used to go by Big Papa Fascist, which, again, he's not a fascist. He's making fun of the libs that called him a fascist. He is a classical liberal, all that shit, right? Where he was doing that, and he was literally doing that, I'm going to be, like, looking down at the muck and the grime and the filth and, like, saying no. And I'm like, dude, shut up, you fucking homo. You're not saying no to who? Who's asking you anything? Frankly, you know, it's like.
So yeah, for people who might be wondering like why I come off like just callous, it's because like these are the people that like have been people who have been doing Mishima posting for years and talking about how badass they are and they're going to stomp on the fingers of anybody who like begs for help after they see the error of their ways, and now like, I'm supposed to feel bad that they feel bad about Charlie Kirk
talking about like a 14-year-old girl with a knife fending for herself as if she did anything wrong, right? As if she did anything wrong.
Internet tough guy posting is easy to start, but it's hard to finish.
Well, yeah, nihilism, easy to start but hard to finish, right? Like, it's never been proven wrong. You know, that old aphorism that Bulbasaur came up with all those years ago is yet to be proven wrong. It's easy to start, but it's hard to finish. You know, where are you going to ultimately go with this? Plus, when your whole demand on women is that they actually ask for your help and want help from men, when they actually do, the problem is you're not actually in a position to give it, other than on a smaller, like sort of individually or maybe small community basis, right? Where you could become a husband or a boyfriend and protect a girl that way, or you could join a community of like-minded people that all get together with each other, and that's their social circle, so they don't have to venture out into this weird shit out there, right? Like what we've got. But, you know, that's one way you could do it, right? But, like, on a societal level, that's difficult because we don't control the state. But if we did, then, yeah, sure, I would be happy to protect them. I don't care if they're grateful or not. I don't care if they're asking for it or not. Like, it's just your job to do it, right? Frankly, it's like, what do you need their fucking... Aren't you some kind of chauvinist? What do you need their fucking permission for anyway? Anyway, it's like, no, they have to admit they're wrong first. Why?
Want a personal apology?
They did with that 14-year-old girl and her sister who were trying to fend off some Pakistani rapist. Owe you a personal apology? Fuck you. Anyway, I think Kirk is probably smooth enough not to do some dumb shit like that. So, yeah. But nonetheless, knows.
That's the thing. It's like Kirk was smart enough not to do edgy, like online retard posting stuff.
But he's also smart enough to play into it, though. Right?
Oh yeah,
you know, because he's playing into it there.
Well, and also because he had a young audience. He was a young guy himself. Like he knew what people were saying, what they were posting online, what they were into.
He was a very smooth.
That's why he was. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why boomers adored him was because they saw him as the one that could actually speak to the youth. Because boomers tear their hair out over like why can't we reach these kids?
Yeah, because they have no idea about anything. And frankly, the way that they would talk about Kirk knew this too. The way they would talk about, like, you know, in my day and talking about bootstrapping and shit, no one wants to hear that shit. Nobody wants to fucking hear that. Now, I don't know. Kirk maybe did some bootstrapping type rhetoric, though.
So Kirk used to do that. So yeah. I'm not going to bother, like, giving you the link to play it. But what I was looking for was...
If you have a link, give it to me.
Okay. Sure. Like, well, because it's a long... it was back in 2018 when Kirk had Tucker Carlson on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And... Okay, let me give you the timestamp that might be worth going to. Oh, I put it in the wrong chat.
So is this on? I think I remember this.
Yeah,
I think I remember this. Yes, I remember this. I remember this.
Yes. Okay. So yeah. What was the one part?
There's a timestamp on this. On this link. I don't know if that's the correct one or not, but yeah.
Comma, who you are shafting, comma.
Okay. So yeah, do you have an actual timestamp or no?
You could start playing from there, because like I think did it open up automatically? Like
it's on like 16:44.
Yeah, play a little bit from there, and then I'll tell you where to go to the next one.
Okay.
Comma, more passive is something you're definitely in favor of, and they are in favor of it, and they're like, okay, we've so mismanaged the finances of our country that we literally are out of money. Because the most favored group in America, unionized government employees, has been promised dental unto the generations, and you're paying for it. But actually, you don't make enough to pay for it, so how do we squeeze you for more? Well, we'll just, I don't know, legalize more casinos and make weed ubiquitous, and that has the perfect two-pronged effect of raising more money to pay for the people who vote for us most reliably, the unionized government employees, and making you way less likely to complain about it because you're high.
But Tucker, just because you want the legalization...
Not that I'm a conspiracy nut or anything, but the libertarians look at that and they're like, oh, human freedom, really? Because that looks to me like human bondage, okay?
But just because you want something to be legal doesn't mean you condone the use of it. Just
because
you want
the
freedom to do something doesn't mean you have to do it or think it's a good idea.
Okay, what do we... Why don't we legalize murder then? I mean, because
that harms someone else. Because this is about the individual. So, for example, if someone wants to do weed, why is it my problem? Murder, you're externally harming someone else. That violates the non-aggression principle.
So
why is that?
He did stop doing this.
Yeah. He like, well, go to around 21:40, because this is where Tucker's talking more about like drugs and drug addiction.
It's funny, Tucker was always ahead of the Kirk curve on this. Maybe Kirk would have eventually gone where Tucker is now today. Although
in the last few months, like Kirk was started talking about how hard it is for people to get by now. Like he moved away from this callous libertarianism.
Yes, I'm talking about in terms of like Zionism and stuff. I don't think Kirk was ever going to do that.
Yeah.
But you know, he was definitely saw which way the bread was getting buttered on this kind of shit. Like no one wants to hear bootstrap shit. Even in 2018, like I granted, like this is back from. This was 2018, right? So this was midpoint of TPUSA's existence when it was still very much. I mean, he's talking about non-aggression principle. I'm actually would be wondering when was the last time Kirk uttered those words. You know, when was the last time he made
it might have been this, because he got Kirk got a very poor reception.
He seems to be getting a better one than Tucker, but that still, I think he got a poor one.
Well,
like,
online. Within the audio, like, I mean, I'm talking about like online, like people loved Tucker for like, because he was saying things that was smashing conservative shibboleths.
Yep. Yep.
And Charlie Kirk, like that was the irony. He's like, Charlie Kirk's the young guy, and he's the one who's sounding out of touch.
Yeah. So this is 2040, you're saying?
Do 21:40.
Oh, 21:40. Okay, so 21.
Because like you got to hear Kirk's callous remark.
21:37.
What happens in the full libertarian model? If you take those ideas seriously, and there's a balance. Look, I'm actually the most libertarian person you've ever met in my personal life. I'm not in telling people what to do at all. However, if you really took those ideas seriously and you said it's your body, do whatever you want. Well, why would we be against selling your own organs? Why would we be against shooting heroin? What would happen? Well, I'd be fine, because I'm not going to sell my own organs and I'm not going to shoot heroin.
Exactly!
But millions of other people would.
So why is that my problem?
Why is it bad? Because shooting heroin and selling your own organs degrade you and kill you. And if you care about people, you don't want them to be degraded and die.
Why is that my problem?
I remember this interview. I remember this whole performance, and it made me like Tucker more after this. I started really liking Tucker after this. And I have mixed feelings about Tucker. Tucker has disappointed me, and he's off and on. Like, he's very mixed bag, right? I don't hate Tucker. at all. And I think he's a mixed bag. He does shit that I think is retarded.
Oh.
And he says things that are good, but yeah.
Keep playing.
I'll keep playing. Because Kirk is going to say some bad shit, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep play for a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Would you ban alcohol? Because that worked really well in the 1920s.
I don't know.
And is alcohol worse than weed?
Alcohol's probably... No,
so then we should ban alcohol if it's worse than weed, right?
Let me just put this into context, okay? So I actually haven't had a drink in 16 years. I'm not going to blame it. I'm not going to talk myself. I know I've got a kind of advanced degree in this stuff.
You're living the individual.
I've got a mouthful of nicotine replacement products right now, so like I know about addiction. I'm not mocking anybody at all. I'm deeply empathetic, okay? But the prohibition, I guess, didn't work well. I'm not calling for prohibition. I'm sort of against prohibiting most things. I mean, honestly, I'm temperamentally libertarian. On the other hand, you know, a lot of Indian reservations do it. Why do they do that? Because they're like crazy authoritarians? No, but because they kind of feel like they have to if they want the people who live. I mean, it's all a balance. But in some cases, yes, you should ban alcohol. You should. You should ban it. The tribal governments of a bunch of different... Boo, 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 whatever. Look, I'm not for banning alcohol. I'm just saying, you're thinking about it wrong. You're totally thinking about it wrong. You've been...
it's banned for children, isn't it? Like, alcohol is banned for people under 21, isn't it? Right? Like, why? Because they can't handle it. I mean, we don't even think this feels like...
Yeah, fucking, I mean, made a lot of people frustrated and what, like, moved a lot of people away from libertarians. Like all this all-or-nothing proposition on everything. And telling people, like, you can actually have nuanced positions on this stuff. Is what woke a lot of people up to like the new possibilities of how to engage politics.
I was already there at that point. In this point, and that's why like this made me be like, oh, let me look at Tucker again. Like, I'm surprised he's doing this. Like, because I would have thought, I don't know what I thought about Tucker at this point. I just remember that this sort of surprised me.
This is what, this is when Ship of Fools came out, and like Tucker was.
Yeah.
Those of us that were following all this stuff, we were like astounded that somebody like as mainstream as Tucker, because he was on Fox News at that time, and this was about halfway point into the, actually not even the halfway point quite yet, but like we were like not even at the halfway point of the first Trump administration, and it seemed like there was so much possibility with breaking through on the stuff.
I think at this point I was already done with like Trump. But like I was like, oh, there seems to be some promise here among some of these people, and Tucker seems to be promising. And I still have that book, Ship of Fools. I have it. I still have it someplace. I don't know if I could find it, but I do have the book. Or I did have the book. Maybe I don't have it anymore. I don't know. I never read it. It's not a very good book.
It's good. I mean, it was good. At the time, I liked it. I mean,
I know. I remember like thinking, I'm not that interested in it, frankly. But it was all like, it was very much anti-Democrat coded. And like, I'm sure it was relatively fine. But if you want to talk about like sort of a more mainstream book like that I thought was all right, it doesn't really matter.
Well, the thing is like, what's funny is like how much more like anti-Democrat partisan stuff is around now, because Tucker never actually does that kind of stuff. He didn't do that kind of stuff. He would talk about like he would like view his like nice white liberal like teachers. Like he even mentions like his nice white liberal teachers. He doesn't think of them as bad people. He thinks like maybe at worst they're misguided.
Yeah, he would do that kind of stuff too, and he's gone back and forth on that kind. He's gone back and forth on all kinds of rhetoric, but he never has shied away from this kind of stuff. Like he's always been, ever since he stopped being like a bootstrapper, he hasn't gone back. And Kirk eventually, this is the other thing. Like Kirk eventually just like, I don't know, like what could you say was genuine about him? Did he genuinely change, or did he just, this is where things are going? I can't impress younger audiences anymore with this. Like at this point, TPUSA wasn't that big. I mean, it was big, but it wasn't as huge as it is now, or was until yesterday. It was big, but it wasn't like the kind of thing that it became, and where it had to be a much bigger tent than just like kind of libertarians, you know, and people.
Yeah, I guess that's also another important thing for people to understand is that TPUSA wasn't always the juggernaut that it is now.
No.
And like this being like this integral component within the Republican Party now, it was something that was almost like Because you had all kinds of, like, was it TPUSA that was doing things like having, like, their activists, like, wear diapers and shit in order to make fun of, like crapping your pants to own the libs? I think that's where it came, like, because TPUSA did all kinds of retarded conservative activist stuff when it first started out. Like, it had this retarded rhetoric that Kirk is saying on stage here. It took them a while. It took them years to actually become much more sophisticated and well adept at being able to do things like take questions on the spot and flip the script on people. They used to do retarded shit.
I would be wondering when it was when Kirk first was like invited to the White House and spoke to Trump. I know it was sometime during the first administration, but I don't know if it was at this point. And yes, you can just see and hear all like the libertarian baggage that's still there, right? And look, if the guy genuinely changes his mind on that, good for him, right? I don't know, but I do. I have a hard time seeing him as anything but like an operator, and seeing him as anything but positioning himself in the way that he thinks would ultimately be best for the electoral chances of the Republican Party, because he always stayed in that world. Ultimately, he always stayed in that world. And you kind of can't really say the same for Tucker Carlson, right? And frankly, for Candace Owens either, right? They seem to have actually, as dumb as some of the stuff they've said is, particularly Candace, like, they've kind of gone off and done their own thing, unless, of course, there's a lot of people who think there's some, like, larger op running them or something. I don't know. But anyway, is there another timestamp on this video?
Just playing a little bit more. Like, I just wanted to get Charlie Kirk saying some pretty funny stuff here.
Yeah. Brainwashed by a small number of dumb ideologues in D.C., most of whom I know very well, into believing what matters is the theory, above all, whether it screws you or not. And what you need to retrain your brain to understand that what matters is your life and the life of your family. And so, under certain circumstances, like on Indian Reservation, again, I just want to be clear, I'm not for banning, like, pretty much anything. I miss smoking, okay? That's how I feel. But like, if you start with these inflexible theories, you wind up where we are now, in a country where a small number of people are taking all the spoils, and you guys are shafted.
So I would get that. Tucker, we're not getting shafted. I mean, no, let's talk about this.
Everyone's actually laughing at that.
Standard of living has gone up. Life expectancy over the last 30 years has gone up.
Nope, not true.
Over the last 30 years, life expectancy hasn't gone up.
In the last 3 years, it's gone down for middle-class America.
Life expectancy for women is 80 years. For men, it's 76. I would love to see what the data was 30 years ago. And if
the CDC... Oh, over 30 years, sure. I mean, like, vaccines work. I mean, you know, there are a lot of reasons. I'm just saying that you're starting to see those trends. Reverse. CDC released the numbers last week.
I mean, did you hear that? Did you?
I couldn't. It's kind of crunching for me. So.
Oh, Tucker just said vaccines work. Yeah. Wow. Real 2018 hours here. Wait, hold on. Let me just rewind for that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a crunching for you. I'm sorry, but I was surprised you didn't react. I was like, wait, why did you not react to that? Wait, hold on. Let me see. What is he saying?
No, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Standard of living has gone up. Life expectancy over the last 30 years has gone up.
Nope, not true.
Over the last 30 years, life expectancy hasn't gone up.
In the last 3 years, it's gone down for middle-class America.
Life expectancy for women is 80 years. For men, it's 76. I would love to see what the data was 30 years ago. And if
the CDC... Oh, over 30 years, sure. I mean, like, vaccines work. I mean, you know...
I hear it now.
I'm just saying that you're starting to see those...
Oh, Tucker. So funny. I mean, that is really funny.
I almost want to listen to this whole thing and just like think like and reflect on how much has changed in 7 years.
Yeah, that's because this kind of shit is. It is funny how like, and like, dude, I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't even on some level like Tucker. I don't entirely give him credit for changing his positions to this. Like, he was again. Tucker could be a fucking operator for all I know. He could be just like picking positions because he sees which way the wind is blowing. Maybe he just saw it first. Maybe he just saw it earlier. I don't know. But yeah, dude, like I don't actually on some. It's very funny when people ask me to credit people whose job is effectively to shill for catching up with where people were, right? Like this is. Tucker is caught up first. Maybe he was more genuine. I don't know. I think probably, but if someone disagrees with me and thinks he was a show, that's fine too. Whatever. I'm not actually that interested in having that argument. But whichever way you want to go with it, he caught up first. Kirk caught up later. And frankly, Kirk also had to play catch up on the Nick Sandman thing. If you remember that.
Oh, yeah. No, he, well, yeah, like that was, he had to get raked over the coals on that. And yeah. he was even confronted about that later in the Groiper War stuff about being against Nicholas Sandman. And he said, like, no, we, like, or was it Ben Shapiro that, was it both of them?
I don't know if Ben Shapiro ever, like, Ben Shapiro, I don't think ever made himself as available as Charlie Kirk did to talk to people and answer questions. I very specifically remember, though, Charlie Kirk came out against Nick Sandman. Called him like a racist and condemned him. Now, this was a young conservative kid, a young white conservative kid, did nothing wrong, like, but basically frees up with a weird look on his face when a bunch of, like, fucking effectively race activists, you know, Indians, you know, American Indians and, like, black race activists, actually even, like, black Israelites. Not even just black.
Well, yeah, they were. You had that Indian that was drumming his face, and there was also a black Hebrew Israelite screaming at them.
That's the here come get shit. And they were supporting the Indians. And this was like after the March for Life, which is like, what the fuck? Because there are niggers that go to March for Life and like agree with it, right? Because it's like blacks get aborted at the highest rates.
Also, I think, or maybe because like something's going on, they just like want, they want to go.
They might just, they probably just blacks that just agree with it. Like they're just against it. Right.
And but whatever. Just like, no, like there's people here. Like I can, we can go bother them.
That's why the black Israelites were there. But, and possibly also why, this Indian activist guy, this American Indian activist guy was there. Maybe he should have been on his reservation with a bottle of scotch. I don't know. But, you know, a bottle of shampoo more likely, but yeah, so anyway, they got up in this kid's face, and people remember this. Maybe if you don't, I'm just going to go over it. And he basically froze up with like a goofy smile on his face or like a weird, funny face because he didn't know what to do. Like when, and so he decided he's just going to, and basically said this later on. He was like, what is he, like 15, 16 or something like that? He was in high school. He was like 16, 17. I don't know, maybe 15. I don't know. He was not that, he was not like, he was a minor. He was under he was younger than 18. He was a high school kid. And this basically witch hunt against this kid was called.
God, this was back in 2019. It's amazing. Like we, not like when I say like we, like that means us, but like the entire like milieu that
there was a big
whether milieu, whatever we felt about each other, we were more or less on the same page on this stuff. Yeah. We had to turn around the opinion on that because Nicholas Sandman. And not only did you have a conservatives throwing him under the bus and calling him a racist, you had people like who were like trying to accuse Nicholas Sandman of being Jewish and therefore like again like same shit we have to constantly the same shit we keep having to fight and deal with all the time was still happening back in 2019, and we always had to be on the forefront of trying to reverse the narratives on this stuff because these things take hold and these people will follow whatever they think the consensus is.
Yeah, and that was exactly Kirk following consensus, following the conservative consensus, the conservative instinct, which was to throw the white kid under the bus, try to impress anti-white race activists, you know, whatever, or maybe just be anti-white, just throw white kids under the bus, just despite the fact that these were conservative kids. They had MAGA hats on, and they were at the March for Life. These were Trump-supporting conservative kids from, like, a pretty conservative, I think it was some kind of a religious high school, like some kind of Christian high school, if I'm not mistaken.
Covington, I think, is a Catholic school.
Yeah, Covington Catholic. Covington Catholic High School, right, exactly right. Yeah, so Covington Catholic High School.
Harold Covington High.
That wouldn't be a Catholic one, but still. I don't think Harold Covington, like, well, I don't know. Yeah, anyway, that's good, though. That's solid. Harold Covington. High school, yes. Nick Sandman. Well, that's what they were excusing him of doing. Like, yeah, this guy goes to Harold Covington High School. This racist white. And Kirk backtracked on it. And then later on during very, very, actually pre-Groiper War. It was before Groiper Wars. Because the Groiper Wars happened like later on. There was some guys that went up and one guy in particular asked him, you know, why do you think you did that? And Kirk got really angry. Because he said, look, and Candace Owens was on stage with him too and was backing him up. And he was like, I apologize for that.
She was there too.
She was on stage backing him up. And he's like, I've apologized for that. And how many times do I have to get raked over the coals? And the guy was like, look, I'm not trying to rake you over the coals. I'm asking for a little bit of like self-examination here. That's a fact. He didn't get a chance to kind of spit it all out because of the nature of these things. But that was what was going on. And I picked up on that just from watching the video. I was like, he's not asking you to debase yourself or humiliate yourself again. He's asking you to reflect. What do you think it was that made you initially have that reaction? So we can theoretically have a discussion about that, right? Now, obviously, to some level, that's kind of humiliating for Kirk to have to do that. So he just did the bit of playing victim and saying, look, I've already apologized. And it's just frankly, at some point, once you've apologized, and, you know, then he just moved on to another question. But it was like, I very specifically remember this particular one. And yeah, and it was just like, okay, so, you know, because I think that was a good question, particularly because it was not trying to rake him over the coals. It was specifically like, well, I think we should have a discussion about, you know, let's say you're forgiven. Okay, I forgive you for what you did. I am not looking, but I think that there's some time for some reflection and maybe understanding of what happened here so it doesn't happen again, right? That's what the guy was asking for, and he got just like shut down like that. And so, yeah, and I just very much remember that. That was before the Griper War thing happened, which is like the next year. And again, after the Dave Riley, like, how does anal sex help us win the culture war thing, with where Kirk is standing on stage with that literal black homosexual, which was like, oh, I gotta be honest, like, I'll give Dave Riley credit. That shit was funny as fuck. That shit was funny. That was hilarious. And after that, and then the endless, like, USS Liberty, it's like, on some level, I was like, Groypers, he's got your number on this. As soon as you start talking with USS Liberty, like, you understand that he's good at what he's doing, but he's also probably has people helping him develop talking points and narratives and such, and they know they've got your number. And frankly, the tail end of that whole, like, whatever you want to call it, was just embarrassing for them. Like, he was just like batting them around, like, you know. And again, my critique of that was always work together. He's not going to let one guy sit there and interrogate him, right? So if you want to do that, the person that comes after you needs to follow up. If you want to string them down a fucking dialogue tree, you can do it. You have to know what the dialogue tree is, because you have to study what he's done before. This, again, no, nobody listens. Nobody listens, right? I was like, this is my recommendation. Study his talking points. Study the dialogue trees. Work together. You know what his responses are going to be up to a point. Get 2-3 guys in line. Have the answer, and then corner him. You can do it, but no, everybody wanted the clout of being the one that asks this question or that question. It was very silly towards the end, but anyway. Oh, do you want to take a break here? We're about 2 hours in, actually.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and I guess we will be back with more on this in a little bit.